Good morning. I thank the Lord for His mercy, His grace, for keeping us safe and allowing us to make our way even through the rain this morning, because we know how sweet it is and the blessing that salvation brings. And those who have kept away from the house of the Lord, if they only knew the blessing that salvation brings, they would never stay away. While I was sitting in my seat, I have learned that the opposite of faith is disobedience. And that's the message that the Lord has laid on my heart this morning. I thought it was fair, but yes, it's disobedience. Because children of disobedience cannot exercise faith in Christ. They have to first come to Christ to exercise that faith. Let us pray. Our gracious God and righteous Father, we thank you for this another privilege, this another moment where we can hear from you. I'm only a vessel. I pray, O God, that you hide me behind the cross. Keep me, Lord, out of the way. And I pray that your blessed Holy Spirit will have his way fully with your message that you have laid on my heart. I pray, God, that hearts will be blessed, souls will be challenged. And Lord, we pray that even souls may be won for your kingdom. And Lord, we are happy to see even those five new persons who have been added to this assembly, who have publicly demonstrated or proclaimed an inward expression that they have with Christ Jesus. Lord, we pray that this message will also be a strength to them and many others. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Disobedience and its consequence. There is a consequence that goes with disobedience. There is no disobedience that the Lord overlooks. He actually hates it. How much does he hate it? We would say bad, bad, bad. He hates it. Disobedience. And as a matter of fact, throughout all the dispensations, there was just one thing we were supposed to do. And it was to be obedient to God's command. And this morning, we have gathered here in obedience to him. And I pray that our hearts will be blessed. Let us turn to Romans chapter 5 and verse 19. Romans 5 verse 19. 5 verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Somehow the Spirit of God led me to speak about disobedience, something that Christ hates, rather than obedience which he loves. Because many preachers today, they do not preach against sin. Many of them, they have some nice sayings of motivations and so on. Sound very good. But you do not hear some of them talk about the things that God hates. Sin. Disobedience. Disobedience is the unwillingness or refusal to comply with the guidance of God's authority. It's an act of rebellion against God's command. Because God always gives command. Without his command, then we cannot be in obedience to Christ. So he always gives his command. As we read that by one man's disobedience, and we all know it's Adam, disobedience, many were made. So you and I, as Christians, we were sinners before we come to Christ. But by one man's obedience, the Lord Jesus Christ's obedience, We have been made righteous. Praise be to God. Righteous is to be in a right relationship with God. When you receive the imputed obedience of Christ and the forgiveness of sins by faith. So it is the obedience of Christ that's imputed upon us. It's a gift. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 6. For though we walk in the flesh, I mean that though we exist in the flesh, that we live in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Did I say war? Yes. We are Christian soldiers. We are called to war. So our newly added members, yes. You have been called to war from the moment you have accepted Christ as personal Savior. And our weapons, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not according to the flesh, but mighty in God. The weapons of the Christian are mighty in God. Could I hear someone say mighty in God?
Mighty in God.
It is mighty for pulling down, verse 5. For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments. So strongholds would be the defensive structure of the devil. He has his structure out there. So that's why our warfare is not against flesh. So we should not engage in those physical activities as bad men do. Our weapons are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into the captivity of to the obedience of Christ. Right? Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The obedience of Christ. Christ was obedient to his Father. And a word came to me, omni-obedience. I don't know if that word has ever been written, but it came to me. That he was all obedient to his Father. And so we should in turn be all fully obedient to Christ. We can be obedient to Christ because the word of God tells us that we can do all things through Christ who gives us the strength. So we bring every thought of disobedience into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. And being ready with our weapon to punish all, here comes the word all again, all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. That's verse 6. So the Bible is full of examples of disobedience, including the consequences that ensue. Some consequences were very serious and have long-term impact on the lives of others and also the lives of the disobeyed. They teach us very important lessons about obeying God and that we should not disobey it in our Christian life. The first and most crucial act of disobedience occurred when Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit. And most of us, we all know that. It's most crucial because that's where original sin comes. Like all later human disobedience, the act involves setting the desire of the flesh, which is carnal, above the will of God. As a result of this, all people become sons of disobedience. Ephesians 2 verse 2, we can see that. We inherited the same Adamic, sinful, rebellious nature that naturally makes us rebellious and disobedient to God. You can see that in Psalms 51, verse 5. But we are all sons and daughters of Adam and Eve and carry the same DNA of disobedience. God's command to Adam and Eve was to multiply, have dominion, eat vegetation, etc. But not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So God always gave his command, and that's what we should obey in order to be obedient unto him. But there's a consequence for disobedience. God drove them from the Garden of Eden, as they were now defiled by the sin of disobedience. There was curse on serpent, curse on the ground, curse on man, woman, and there was spiritual and physical death. You can read that in Genesis 3:14-19. So we see that there's always a consequence for disobedience. So when one continues to be disobedient to God, they are only piling up certain consequences which they do not have any thought about. We do not know what the consequence, the exact nature of the consequence. Because God is all wise. He's all knowledgeable. He's all powerful. All wisdom. And whatever tool is going to be used for the consequence, it's not going to be feeling nice for us. But it is good to be chastened by God when we go astray. But it is bad to go astray, to be chastened by God. Another interesting Bible character who disobeyed God is a big king, Nebuchadnezzar. We all know about King Nebuchadnezzar. The Bible tells us in the book of Daniel that Nebuchadnezzar was king of ancient Babylon, who was known for exalting himself above the Most High God and wanted nothing to do with the God of Daniel due to his pride. He was full of pride. So in Proverbs 16 verse 8, he tells us that pride goes before destruction and the haughty spirit before a fall. Yes. So that's what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. Pride. So what is going to come after? Destruction. Nebuchadnezzar disobeyed God by refusing to repent of the wickedness and idolatry he practiced, and also erecting a golden image for people to worship. He wants to make himself a god. Consequently, God punished him for his prideful disobedience. And we can read that in Daniel chapter 4, verse 25 to 35. God had to teach him a good lesson that he is the Most High God who is in charge of everything, and no one else can challenge him. So he was driven from men, and his dwelling was with the beast. He was given the heart of beast, and 7 times that passed over him, indicating 7 years he was out there. He ate grass like oxen. His hair grew like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird claws. It didn't come to him to trim his hair or one wanted to say feathers. They were looking like feathers. His claws, his nails were looking like claws. You could call them claws. They were looking like it. It wasn't in his mind to clip them, to trim, because he had the heart of the beast. Who saw that coming? Man, no one could think of that coming. God has his ways to chasten us when we are disobedient. And for some, it's punishment, because the children of disobedience are not really chastened. They are punished. They are already in disobedience. And there's a great and final punishment coming, which I'm warning you about. If there's anyone who has not received Christ as his personal Savior, there is a day coming, a day of sorrow, everlasting sorrow. We give thanks for the 5 newly converts. Someone says one of them may be a bit shy, but on that day when they were baptized, I did not see any shyness. They were bold. It was a blessing. It was a wonderful day. They had proclaimed a public declaration that they have received Christ as their personal Savior. It's not the water saved them. They are indicating to us that they have already been saved. And that was a bold step for the five candidates. I pray that this message will give them strength. And pray that any other listener who are not saved will make that bold step to Christ and say, "Yes, Lord, yes." We have looked at two examples already, and we see that the consequence ensued, and they're not pretty. There's always consequence for disobedience, and even worse, for children of disobedience. So Nebuchadnezzar ate grass, his hair grew like eagle's feathers, nails like bird claws. After this, Nebuchadnezzar was humbled. You see that? He that exalted himself shall be humbled. He was humbled by that punishment, which made him realize and said that indeed God's ways are just, the true and just, and that he humbles all who try to exalt themselves above him or his word. Daniel 4 verse 37. So according to Genesis, Nebuchadnezzar was the king of ancient Babylon. But according to Genesis, Babylonians themselves were disobedient. They became full of pride as well and wanted to be equal to God. Their command from God was to scatter, multiply, have dominion. Capital punishment was allowed. But staying in one place was one thing that God instructed them not to do. Genesis 11 verse 1. Now at that time, the whole earth had one language and one speech. One language and one speech. Just like the brethren of Good Tidings. We have one language and one speech. And that's why we can be able to understand each other and have sweet fellowship. There is no ism and schism in the body of Christ. So it is good to think to have one speech, one language. So that was their command. Verse 4. I'll just read a part of verse 4. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves." You see, they want to make name for themselves. But you see, they fail. And that was the height of the disobedience or rebellion against God at Babel. So they fail, they refuse to scatter, and they build a tower of Babel. Tower of Babel. Genesis 11, 1 to 4, we can see that. So they were full of pride, want to make name for themselves after God had given them a command to scatter and multiply. They refused to scatter and want to be like God. Their intention was to be like God of the world, God of this earth. But God already understood their intentions and changed their language. There comes the language change. Who did see that coming? None of them. No one could see what's coming. God is omniscient. He knows all things. And whatever he chooses is perfect. It's a perfect. He changed their language so that they were not able to understand each other. They were confused and constructed, and their construction work came to a stop. So what did God use as the judgment here? Confusion of language. If you compare Adam and Eve, Nebuchadnezzar, look at that. Look at what comes now. Confusion of language. There is confusion. So those who are disobedient to Christ, what is awaiting you? Confusion. Always confusion. You will be humbled. So verse 8, part of 8. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth. See? The Lord is omnipotent. He knows how to scatter people who are in wrong company. Bad company, we would say. When you are in bad company and you see your scatter and your friends scatter, don't worry. It is for your good. The Lord is chastening you. There are some people that need to be removed from your life, even for a while or for good. For your good. Don't fight, don't fuss, and say, what happened? You dashed me away. What happened? You don't call me again? Don't worry yourself. You put your trust in God. He removed people from your life. The wrong company. So give God the praise that He's now able to scatter you for your good, so that you can now at least your eyes open and be obedient to Him. Verse 9. The name of the city is called Babel, because there the Lord confused their language of all the earth. And also, it's from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. Another person who disobeyed God is Cain. We all know the story about Cain and Abel. He disobeyed God by not offering the sacrifice that is expected of him to offer to be accepted. That sin of omission. He did not offer that sacrifice. He also disobeyed God by killing his brother Abel due to jealousy. Sin of commission. That's what he did. So the story of Cain and Abel and how Cain ended up killing his brother due to jealousy is found in the book of Genesis 4:1-15. When you have time, you can read that. So it began when the two people went to offer and present their sacrifice to God. From this story, we see that God ended up accepting Abel's sacrifices, which consisted of a slain lamb, but rejecting Cain's sacrifice, as it was wrong and acceptable and consists of earth and vegetable matter. So the incident made Cain ended up killing Abel and becoming the first murderer on the earth. I wonder how that must have felt. But due to this murder, God ended up punishing Cain, as we see in Genesis 4 verses 11 to 12, where he was cursed that when he tills the ground, it should no longer yield its strength to him. And also, he should be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. Fugitive, a person who flees a location for safety. A vagabond, a wanderer, tossing here and there without a home or job. That's not nice. That is not nice. So you see, when you disobey God, curse is in the way. Curse is in the path. But what happens when you obey God? Blessings. Blessings. Who wouldn't want blessing? God's blessing. Lot's wife. As seen in Genesis 19 verse 26. Is another person who disobeyed God. So in Genesis 18 onwards, it tells us that the Lord had decided that he would destroy the twin wicked city of Sodom and Gomorrah, because their wickedness had become too much. So there's a time when God said enough is enough. So he allow you to go on with your disobedience and you think that all is well. But there comes a time when he said enough is enough. Hebrews 10 verse 31 tells us that it is a fearful thing, a terrible thing, a dangerous thing to fall in the hands of the living God. It's a dangerous, terrible thing to experience the righteous and terrible vengeance of God. So God sent his angels to deliver Lot's family from Sodom before he did so. The angel of God specially instructed them to flee Sodom and not to look back as the Lord destroyed the city. Sadly, Lot's wife did not heed these instructions. And what happened? She looked back. And what happened to her as a consequence of this disobedience? She turned into a pillar of salt. And that's how she perished. Who did see a pillar of salt? You cannot test God. You cannot win God. Leave Babylon. There's a song that says, leave Babylon and come. Put down your pride. Put down the rebellion. And come to God. Give up. You cannot challenge God. You cannot win God. He has everything there to humble you. Even a pillar of salt that we never think about and could not have thought about. Finally, final example, Christians at Corinth. Christians at Corinth. Yes? They were also disobedient. They were notoriously known for civil disobedience, sexual immorality, and partaking at the table of demons. So no wonder the Apostle Paul ought to tell these believers in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 21 that they can't partake of the table of the Lord Jesus Christ and at the same time partake of the table of demons. He further says in Galatians 6 verse 7 that we should not be deceived. God will not be mocked by what we do or by our disobedience, because in the end we will reap what we sow. What is it that we will reap? The fruit of disobedience. It's not a nice tasting fruit. Not nice. The disobedient ones suffer the consequence in the end. And the last, we will turn to 1 Corinthians 11 verse 30. It said, for this reason, many are sick and many sleep. Many are weak and sick. And many sleep. So you see, God has a sleeping portion for disobedient people. A sleeping portion that makes you sleep for good. The strongest sleeping pill. You sleep for good. He has that portion. So God cannot be mocked. Stop playing with sin. Give up and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Before it's too late, there's a day coming when the doors will be closed and many will come to beat on those doors and to come inside here to worship. But it will be too late. The day is coming. It's not if, it's when, and it's a must. It's a surety. 1 Corinthians 10, 5, 6, 8, and 11. Last reading. Verse 5, but with most of the Israelites in the wilderness, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. They got the sleeping portion, the most potent portion. Their bodies scattered in the wilderness because of disobedience. Now these things became our example, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Verse 8. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 got the sleeping potion. They died. They fell. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition. Admonition is a warning or a piece of advice. So this warning that I'm extending is not just from me. It's from the word of God as we read here. Upon whom the end of the ages have come. Is there anyone would say, yes, Lord, yes? Now? Now is the best time for you to say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your ways. I hope that the examples of disobedience in the Bible will serve as a lesson and deterrent in our lives that we do not disobey God, lest we be punished or chastened as the case may be. Stay blessed and always remember that obedience to the Lord attracts blessing in our lives. Yes, Lord, yes. Do you know that song? Yes, Lord, yes. To your will and to your ways, I'll say yes, Lord, yes. I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speak to me, with my whole heart I agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Let's join and sing that chorus. And if any one of you led to accept the Lord as your personal Savior, be free to come forward and let us know so we can.